It's my boy on this desk at the back this morning. He's doing his best. Okay, all that. Just to remind you, if you did need reminding, that following our worship this morning, there will be tea and coffee served in the community hall. We are having an open air, and if you'd like to join us, we'd appreciate it. It starts at 12:05, and the Fox is on the triangle. On Wednesday at 1:30, friends together, we'll meet. On Thursday, 1:00 till 2 in the afternoon, will be the Bible study. Saturday morning coming is earmarked for a spring clean of this building. But the number of names on the list, we'll probably only be able to do this one hall. But it'll be nice and clean for Sunday. But if you can come, there's a list on the notice board, and please put your name down. And if you've got a handheld Hoover to do the seats, and you've got any dusters, bring them along with you. So please, if you haven't put your name on and you are going to come, could you do it this morning, please? I forgot to tell you that at 9:30 it starts, but that's for bacon rolls and tea and coffee. Then at 10:15, we'll start the big clean-up. On the 26th of March, 2:00 in this hall, will be the celebration of the life of Ray Todd, and that will be supported with the Fellowship Band. There's a table on the back in the foyer which has the cartridge envelopes on. If your name's on one of those, would you please take it with you? Also, I know many of you have contributed towards Ukraine in different ways, but there is a box on our display unit at the back if you want to give any more, and just put it into the box. Now, Harold Emeny was 96 on Friday, and and he'd like to thank you all for your many cards that you sent him, but I never got one piece of cake. Have you eaten it all? Just give me a dirty look there, and I'll go on. And finally, last week Neil gave some information to the congregation about the advisory team, and the photographs that he mentioned are now on display. They're on the board as you go out. If you don't know who I am, have a look. Put my name to a face, and you can call me anything you like. But that's the people who, if I just remind you, are on the advisory team. We've had one or two people already who've come to a member of the team with suggestions. And the idea is that we want the whole core to be involved in what's happening in the future of the church. And if you have any ideas, then please see a member of the advisory team and they'll bring it up at the next meeting. And so, I welcome our new officers. Not quite, no. But we've been very privileged to have David and Linda. They work very, very hard. You may not know, but throughout the week, they're doing things for the Corps. And with our own officers on holiday, they gladly accepted to lead our worship. So will you welcome them? And then we'll worship with you, David.
Good morning to you all. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be here any Sunday to worship with you here at Felixstowe Corps. But it's good to be here this morning leading worship with you. Now, I just thought those pictures at the back were, if you spot these people, just call the police or something like that, but they tell me they're the advisory board. So we thank them for all the work that they do here at Felixstowe Corps. Why have you come this morning? Why have you come to worship this morning? If you're curious and have come to see, or if you are weary and have come to rest, if you are listening and have come to pray, if you are hurting and have come for comfort, if you are doubting and have come to find hope, if you're grateful and have come to give thanks, if you're angry and have come to seek peace, and have come for answers, my prayer for this group of people this morning is that for whatever reason you are here this morning, that you find within our worship and within our fellowship the answers that you are seeking. The band played a few moments ago the tune to our opening song. The words will be on the screen, but if you're using the song, it's song 334. And the first line that we're going to sing in this great song is, "Give us a day of wonders. Give us a day of wonders." And I wonder, what wonders are you expecting to see this morning? What are you expecting to see God do in our worship this morning as you've come here? Do you come with expectations, or do you just come? Do you expect God to be at work in our worship this morning? What wonders would you like to see happen in this fellowship, in this congregation this morning? Give us a day of wonders. And I pray that that is our desire, that we want to see God at work in our worship this morning. Pour out thy Holy Spirit. Make known thy healing balm. Give blessings without number. Give blessings without number here this morning, Lord. Supply us from thy store. Dear Saviour, richly bless us. Baptize us more and more with the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives this morning. What have you come? What wonders do you expect to see in our worship this morning? Or do you not expect to see anything happen? I hope that's not true. We expect, and God will answer. Bandmaster, thank you. Best songs to lead the bandmaster. We thank you for your band introduction, and we'll stand together and first sing the first and second verses of our song. We come here as individual people, and some of you I know reasonably well, some I know better, some I don't know really well at all. And I don't know what your need is this morning, but is there someone here who needs courage? Is there people here this morning who need strength in their lives at the moment? Light? Is grace your need today, that you need blessings upon blessings? Is it rest amid life's conflict? Is it peace that you need this morning? It, more than anything else, you need peace in your life this morning. Or is it faith to fight with patience? I don't know what that need is, but I do know someone who will meet that need as we have gathered in our worship today. Give courage for the battle. Give strength when foes, thy foes to slay. The third verse, thank you. And please be seated. And we're going to turn to another song straight away. And the band again are going to help us with the tune. It's 456 in our Salvation Army songbook. Words again will come onto the screen. It's this beautiful, beautiful song. It was a poem written by a Quaker gentleman. And it consists of 17 verses, this poem written by a Quaker. We only have 5 of those verses in our songbook, for which possibly this morning we will be grateful. But it's a much longer poem that this gentleman wrote. But beautiful sentiments, beautiful words. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise, in simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea the gracious calling of the Lord. Let us, like them, without a word rise up and follow thee. The band are going to help us with the melody, and we'll sing the first 3 verses of this song. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask that we use this fourth verse to pray for ourselves this morning before we go on with the final verse. We're going to sing it without the band accompanying us and make it our prayer this morning. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. All our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress. Do you have those this morning? Do you have that strain and stress in your lives this morning? Lord, take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. There will be people this morning who need the Lord to take that strain and stress. They need to know the quietness in their lives at this moment. Let's sing it unaccompanied. We'll try and get it in the key that we sang it in just now, but if we don't, we don't. But let's sing this unaccompanied. Make it our prayer. Make it our prayer this morning. That prayer this morning as we sing this fifth verse together. Breathe through the heats of our desire. May God come close to us this morning and hear the desires of our hearts as we have come into worship. And now as we also come into a prayer time together. So we pray together. And we think about these things. Paul said to us, always give thanks for everything. Always give thanks for everything. And as we ponder this morning, we think, do we ever give thanks that we can see, that we can hear? Do we thank him that we can walk, run, and laugh? Do we thank him that we can feel the wind and the rain, enjoy the warmth of the sun, enjoy a good meal, that we can close the door and be safe and cozy in our own homes? Do we ever thank God for the warmth of our beds on a cold night? Do we ever give God thanks that we live in a free country? Do we ever give thanks that we live in a country where we are safe from the horrors and the terror of war? That we have never known what it is like to flee in terror from our homes. And this morning we pray for those people who have flown their homes, they have left everything behind and traveled to another country so that they might be free from the tyranny of war and horror. Let's give thanks this morning for our own country And may this country be a country where other people can find freedom in their lives as we open our doors, as many countries have, to those who are needing that sense of peace today. Do we ever give God thanks that he lives in us, that God sent his Son to die for us, that Christ is with us today here in this place? Just thank God this morning that as we have gathered together, God was already here preparing the way, that his Spirit dwells in us and gives us strength to live, that God has forgiven us. Do we thank God for the love of Jesus? Do we thank God for Easter as we travel now with Christ towards the cross and his suffering for each and every one of us? Do we thank God for friends and neighbours? Do we thank God for our church, a place to worship and serve the living Christ? Do we ever give God thanks for all our family, for children, for education, for a meal when we're hungry, for water when we're thirsty, for fire when we are cold, for medicine when we are sick? Do we ever give God thanks? Always give thanks to God for everything. Father God, we thank you for your blessings upon blessings that you pour out upon each and every one of us. We thank you that you are a loving, faithful God who cares for each one of us because you know us, you created us, and you want us to live our lives as you desire us to live our lives in all its fullness. We thank you for just being able to be here this morning in freedom to worship you and to come together with fellow Christians. It may be a circumstance where you have been the only Christian this week in a particular place, in a particular situation, and it's been difficult. But today we gather as the church gathers, and we worship together, and we pray together, and we listen to God's word together. And later on we will become the church dispersed as we go back to our various situations, our home lives, our work lives, our recreation lives, knowing that we have been with God's people. We give you thanks for God this morning for that privilege and that opportunity. And my prayer is that as we worship together in this way, again our thoughts and our prayers will go out to those who are hurting in so many different ways and in so many different situations this morning. Father, you know them. You are aware of them just as we are aware of them. And we pray your presence and your peace and your power into those situations today. As we pray for that here in this place. And so, Father, I offer up this worship to you and just ask that you will take it and use it for your glory and for your kingdom's sake here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray, who taught the disciples to pray when asked to do so, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And may God answer our prayers here this morning. And in the spirit of prayer, I'm going to invite the songsters to come forward now and bring us their contribution to our worship as part of our prayer time. They're going to sing an upbeat number entitled, Now Thank We All Our God. The songsters, thank you.
Thank you to our songsters and for just reinforcing the message that even in the most difficult of circumstances, we can thank our God and praise him. In all things, give thanks. I've been asked to share with you the Bible reading this morning, and our first Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 to 11. In my Bible, which is the New International Version of Scripture, there is a title that says, Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And may God help us in our understanding of the reading from his word.
I brought these along this morning just in case anyone misbehaves, really. But no, what I need to do from anybody really, sort of, but from our young people, if they would come and help me. We've got some lovely young people here this morning, but some are very, very busy colouring in some lovely pictures, which is good. In the Ava, that's fantastic. You coming as well, Hudson? That's fantastic. Now, what I need you to do, I want to find out how strong you are. Is it okay? Are you willing to do that? Now, I've got my bottle here, and I've brought these along. One for health and safety, okay, so that your hands keep safe when we're doing this. Yes. Okay, so, Matthew, would you like to go first this morning and put that on, whichever's your strongest hand? Is that your, which is your strongest hand? That one? Okay, put that on. Anybody got a strong hand? It's their other hand. Yes, you can. Yes, don't worry about strongest hand. Okay, right. Now, normally, I would choose another fine young man in the corps to come and hold this for me this morning, one out of my own protection, basically, to start off with, because I don't want to be hit by a boxing glove. And so normally, I would choose someone else, but I'm being brave this morning, and what I want you to do, you ready? What I need you to do is come and hit this bottle as hard as you can, okay? Stop. Wait your turn. Okay. Oh, look at that. You see that? Look what's happened. Look what's happened to that. You see that? You want to pass that on? Isla, would you like to have a go in a minute? Right, now Felicity, it's your turn. I'll come down here and go. Go on. Oh, look at that. You see what's done to this bottle? Well done. Would you like to pass that on to Ava? Good. Okay. Oh, you come on. Watch one. Watch my chin. Oh, my. This is, look. Look at the damage that's done to this. Fantastic. You didn't. Well, I thank you for that, Matthew, because you may have missed and hit me. And you may have. You may have done indeed. All right. Right. Okay. So now. Oh, look, another big day. Would you like a go, Hudson? Or are you not worried? Do you want to have a little go? No, I don't blame you. Right, now pass them back to where we started off. You see, I want you to imagine this morning that this simple Tesco, and there are other supermarkets, and there are other, you have to say that this day, don't you? I want you to imagine this is our life. I want you to imagine this is our life this morning. And you noticed how the young people have come up and they've knocked our life. And you know, we get things in our lives that come and they knock us. You know, they hit us hard at times. And we don't know how we're going to cope with those circumstances. They really do give us a big bash. But my prayer this morning is that we know the love and the power and the spirit of Jesus in our lives this morning. Okay? And now I'm going to ask again, Matthew, if you would like. Okay, and I appreciate that, Matthew. I understand that, and I appreciate that you're not doing it your hardest, but go on, give it a good. You see? Pass it on. Felicity, your turn. Yeah. Oh, you see, pass that on. Isla, it's your turn. If you can get that, pass off. I know. Right, you're ready. Whenever you're ready. Isla, when you're ready, Isla, you just.
It's not working
because
the
lid's gone. There. Well done. You know, it hasn't worked as well the second time. Because we've allowed Jesus to come into our lives and we've made sure that he's in our lives and the Holy Spirit can stay in our lives and can't escape. We still will have knocks. And Matthew, all of our young people, they still made a little indent because we still get the knocks. They still come. But when we know Christ in our lives or when we know Jesus in our lives, he protects us. And he keeps us strong and the knocks we're able to cope with. Now, you're going to go out and to go to your children's church. You want to hit me on the chin now, don't you? I can see it in your eyes. I just want one go at him. One go at him, I'll have him this morning. Now, Felicity wants to do the same. Right, I'm going to take those off you in a minute. Our young people are going to go off to their children's church in a moment. And they're going to learn more about what it is to know Jesus and to have Jesus living in our lives and to protect us from those things that come into our lives that hurt us. When Jesus is in our lives, he helps us. So let's have a word of prayer before we go out, shall we? And then Rosie's ready and waiting to take us. Father God, I thank you for Ava, for Isla, for Felicity, and for Matthew, and for Hudson this morning. And we thank you for them and being part of our church here at Felixstowe. And I pray that as they go out with Rosie and the team, that you will help them to understand what it means to have Jesus in our lives this morning. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I suddenly realise that I've missed something out of the meeting because Major Linda wasn't there helping me and making sure. There's a song. There we go. I'll take the gloves off you, shall I, because I feel safer. I feel safer without the gloves somehow. Yeah. No, I'm not giving them to you. Right, we're going to sing a song. I don't know why I do this at my age. Really, at my age, I should stop doing this. We need to learn some actions first. Rosie will be with you in 2 minutes, right? 2 minutes. We're going to learn a song, whether you know. So first of all, we need to reach up high. We need to touch the ground. We need to stomp our feet and turn around. I've got to, woo-woo, praise the Lord, okay? I jump and dance with all my might. I might look funny, but that's all right. I've got to, woo-woo, praise the Lord. Okay, that's a simple. You think I know better, don't you? Anyway, got some music. You're going to jump and dance. Adults, congregation, I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able to, because at least if you're standing, you can join in if you want to. Clap your hands. There's a bit where you can go, woo, woo, okay, and praise the Lord. Okay, so it goes like this, doesn't it, Hudson? It goes like this. Had our prayer, Rosie. You like to take young people off to Sunday school? Thank you.
My husband just worn himself out completely, and he's got to get himself ready. Isn't it good that in God's house that we can go through so many different things and we can have our very, very sacred moments, but we can have our moments where we can really just remember that, you know, it's about praising him as well and thanking him for how good he is. Hopefully that will have given them time just to get a little bit of breath back, and we will listen now, please, to the message from the band. Our second Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, and this time commencing to read at verse 6. And once again, I'm reading from the New International Version of Scripture. First Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Before David brings to us the message from the Word of God, we have another song together. It's song number 376 in the songbook, if you're using the songbook, but it will also come up in the screen. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne. Your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now in royal robes I don't deserve. I live to serve your Majesty. Beautiful song that's come into our songbook that just adds so much to our worship. I think we will stand again to sing, and we'll sing this song through, please. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for sung worship. We thank you for times of prayer. We thank you for the reading of your word this morning and the opportunity to share with our young people about having Jesus and his spirit within our lives. But now we turn to your word, and I ask that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive just what you want to say to us this morning. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know whether you've heard the story of a young wife who came home one day with a very expensive dress from the shop. "Why did you buy it?" her husband said. "You know we can't afford it." "Well, dear, the devil made me do it," the wife said. "I was trying it on in the shop and he said to me, 'I've never seen you look so gorgeous as you do in that dress.'" And the husband pleaded to her, why didn't you say to him, 'Get ye behind me, Satan?' And she said, "I did. But he answered, 'It looks great from behind too.'" You see, we smile and we laugh and we can so easily trivialize the work and the power of Satan in our lives. We're on this second Sunday in Lent. We've started our journey, and I hope you've found some way of making that journey during Lent towards Calvary and towards Easter Sunday. We're in this second Sunday in Lent, and we need to recognize the power of Satan in our world today. We can trivialize it, we can make fun of it, but it is very real. Who do you think sows seeds into the minds of us Sunday morning and says, "Well, stay in bed. They won't miss you if you don't go today"? Who do you think causes turmoil and chaos in the house? And we've had that with our four girls at times when we've been trying to get ready. "I can't find my tie. I can't do this. I can't find this." Just as you're about to leave for worship on Sunday. Who can make the journey difficult sometimes to get here? Who plants seeds in your mind? "The music's too loud. The children's are noisy. Someone's sitting in my seat. I wonder if the dinner's cooked all right." Who do you think it is who gags you when you know you should be saying a word on behalf of the Lord, and yet your mouth is gagged and you don't say it? Peter describes him, and Linda just read it to us, as someone who prowls round like a roaring lion, wanting to devour us. Jesus describes him as the evil one, the wicked one. Who is he? He is the devil. And whether we hear it preached from the platform that often, I do not know, but we ought to. For the devil is real. He despises you this morning, the devil. Do you know what? He is spitting feathers that you are here this morning in worship, because he would have wanted to do everything that he could to have stopped you from being here, to be in God's house with God's people, to sing God's praises and to listen to his word. And even now, when you are here, he's already looking for ways that he can interrupt your thoughts. He's looking for ways when he can disrupt your thinking and your concentrating on what God is saying to you this morning. He despises the fact that you are in God's house with God's people, worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friends, we must recognize the reality of Satan, of the devil in our world. And if we fail to do so, we expose ourselves to the possibility of hindering God's will in our lives. So how can we learn from what Jesus faced, and how can we learn about how we can overcome? We'll look together this morning at the one who was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin, so he might be able to help us when we are tempted. They're words from Hebrew 1 and from chapter 4, 15. Who was tempted in every way we are. You think of the ways that you're tempted. Christ was tempted in every way. So he might be able to help us when we're tempted. See, the devil wants to do his work as much as God wants to do his work in our lives. Adam, the first man, met Satan in a beautiful garden with everything he needed. And when he was tempted, he failed. Jesus, the second Adam, met Satan in a wilderness, alone and hungry, having fasted for 40 days, and overcame. And friends, so can we too overcome. God doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. You must recognize it's not God's doing when we face temptation and tests. And when tempted, we shouldn't be saying, God is testing me. For God does not tempt anyone. Temptation and testing is the devil's work. Remember how Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit. But being led into the desert by the Spirit does not immune us from temptation. So let's just look at the method Satan used in that desert experience for Jesus Christ our Saviour. It first involved the love and the will of God. Some scriptures say, since you are. He doesn't challenge the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He says, since you are God's beloved Son, why doesn't he feed you? Why doesn't he provide for your needs? Why has he put you in this wilderness? It's a subtle temptation. His Father doesn't love him. If his Father loved him, then the Father would provide for him in this particular situation. And the similar temptations come into our lives as well. Why has God allowed this or that situation to happen to me? Why has God led me into this lonely, barren wilderness that I'm facing in my life at this particular time? And we can question, does God really love me? I'm here in this wilderness situation. Does he really love me? But of course God loves you. He loves you with all the love that he can have. The suggestion is also, use your divine powers to meet your own needs and the needs of others. You see, Jesus could have easily turned those stones to bread. That wasn't a problem for him. Those stones could have become bread if he'd have wanted them to. But what Satan is saying, why don't you use your powers to deal with the situation of other people? To deny your Father? To do something that God didn't want you to do? Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 reminds us what, while they were wandering in the wilderness, Israelites were made to see the source of the bread. Remember how they asked for food and God sent manna into the wilderness, bread. But they were taught that God was more important than the food that they were eating. Jesus refused to work a miracle to avoid personal suffering when suffering was part of God's will for him. The second temptation is even craftier than the first one. Jesus responds by scripture. You cannot live by bread alone. And Satan uses the second temptation and quotes scripture to Jesus. You see, Satan knows scripture probably better than we do. But he doesn't use it right always. Let me quote you a word of scripture, says Satan, and see if you obey it. So then Satan takes Jesus up to this high pinnacle, possibly 500 feet above the Kidron Valley, and quotes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, the most beautiful, beautiful words of the psalmist, where God promises to care for his own. If you really believe the scriptures, Satan says, well, jump off. Jump off, for the scripture says, God tells us that he will send his angels to hold you up. Just jump off and let the angels save you. Let's see if God really cares for you. You see, Satan uses scripture, but he doesn't use it in its entirety. He omits a phrase from the Psalms which says, in all thy ways, in all thy ways. He tries to use scripture to lead Jesus to do something, to test what God would do. And Jesus reminds Satan that we are not to test our Lord, our God. It's not necessary to take unnecessary risks. We don't need to test God to see if he loves us and whether he cares us. Faith is not attempting to see how far we go in pushing God to answer our wishes, but an attitude that allows God to fulfill his will through our lives. I don't know whether you know, but 3 or 4 years ago, I needed to go to the hospital at Adam Brooks very quickly. Within an hour, the person said, you need to be in Adam Brooks within an hour. And we were there within an hour. Within 24 hours, I had this thing put in me to make sure my heart does what it's meant to do when it doesn't want to do what it's meant to do. But I could have got to that hospital and said, it's all right, doctor. The Lord will take care of me. I don't need you to put this thing into my body. The Lord will take care and he will have his angels lift me up. Thank you, doctor. I won't go ahead with it. Of course I didn't. I allowed them to do what they needed to do. So I won't need to put God to the test. Possibly I wouldn't be here this morning, which some of you may say, well, that wouldn't have been a bad thing. But I might not have been here if I just put God to the test. Or a diabetic who needs to take insulin and says, oh, I'm not going to take the insulin. It's all right. God will take care of me. He will send his angels to uphold me. No, if you need to take it, you need to take it. God is using that. God uses those things to take care of you as he has promised. When the child of God is in the will of God, the Father will take care of him. We must constantly remember his will, his way, no matter what my will may be. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for me. And he will take care of me. The third temptation focuses directly on Jesus' ultimate mission. He had come to seek and save the lost. He tells us that in the Word. He had come to seek and to save the lost, to reconcile man to God. God had broken this wonderful relationship with God, and Jesus had come back to reconcile. And that would need him to go and to suffer on a cross with his outstretched arms. And we're heading towards recognizing that again on Good Friday. But the devil suggests you can take a shortcut. You can take a shortcut if you just once. You only need to do it once, says Satan. You only need to do it on one occasion. Bow down and worship me. Bow down and worship me, and all that you've come to do will be done. If you acknowledge my lordship, you can enjoy all the glory without the suffering. The tempter was suggesting that Jesus take another route to win the world rather than the way of the cross that God had chosen, to compromise with evil and to achieve the right end by the wrong means. There are no shortcuts to the will of God. If we want to share his glory, we must share his suffering also. And God knows that you will face in your lives similar challenges and similar tests He knows that you will face those because he knows that Satan is trying to destroy you. He's trying to separate you from the people of God. He's trying to wedge his way into your life so that there's no room for Jesus in it. And God knows that. But the wonderful thing is Christ has overcome the world and he has overcome Satan too. And as Christ did it, so can we. How? And you know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. How we can defeat the test and Satan in our life. There in the lonely desert, Jesus showed us that those tests can be conquered and pointed the way for his victory and our victory. Jesus overcame Satan by using the same weapons that are available to us today. And I'm sure many of you here already use those weapons in your life. When Satan comes to destroy us, when Satan comes to try and divide us from the love of God, we can overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. At his baptism, he was baptized, filled, and led by the Holy Spirit. He was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted, and returned by the Spirit to his ministry in Galilee. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest that man can manage these things in his own strength. Nowhere does it say we can conquer Satan in our own power. The foe's strong and we are weak. Our victory in all our life's testings is connected to Pentecostal power in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit. We can overcome Satan and all he has for us by the power of God's word. Every time Satan came with a test, it is written, Jesus says, it is written. If we are to be triumphant over the attacks of Satan in our lives, we must know God's word. We must understand God's word. We must obey God's word. And we must learn to use God's word and use it in the right way. Not like Satan misquoting or leaving out the bits that he didn't want to say. We can overcome by the power of God's word. And we can also overcome by the power of prayer. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. As he was praying, Jesus consistently went out to pray. He consistently spent time in communion with his heavenly Father. He was consistently listening to what God was saying to him and communing with him in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, speaking about wearing the whole armor of God, uses the phrase, pray on all occasions, in all circumstances, pray to our Heavenly Father. Jesus' victory over Satan is our basis for the victory as disciples of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let us stand faithfully to the one who has already won victory. Let us stand with the one who has already overcome and wants and desires us to overcome too. And we can do it through the power of the Spirit, through the Word of God, and through the power of prayer in our lives today. And my prayer is that you may know that power and that you may know that victory when Satan comes to test you, that you turn to those weapons that God has given, that we may overcome just as Christ overcame. We're going to respond and just reflect on that and maybe how Satan is trying to work in our lives at the moment. I don't know. He may be trying to do some terrible things in your life at the moment. And we're going to turn to Psalm 795 in our songbook. Again, the words will come on our screen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We often miss the peace of what God wants to give us. We have needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Are we being tested at the moment in our faith, in our service for the Lord, in our relationship to God this morning? Only you can answer that. We're going to sing these beautiful words through. We're going to sing a sort of songster melody. I'm going to ask Penny if she will just play. This is the melody line. Songsters do have their music with them so that they can follow the music and help us in our singing of this beautiful melody to these beautiful words. If you are facing tests at this moment in your life, and you need again to know the power of Christ in your life, our place of prayer is here. And if it would help this morning to come and kneel here in prayer and just to commune with our Heavenly Father and just bring to Him just how we're feeling this morning and just the circumstances that we're going through, this place of prayer is helpful. It's helped many people in the past and will be helpful for you this morning. And if you need to do that, just please come forward and we will pray with you in these moments. 795, the words are on the screen, and this is the melody. If you don't know it, just listen to the tune as it's being sung to you and pray. And then maybe you'll be able to join in the second verse if you've picked it up. Thank you, Penny. We'll have a little introduction and then we'll sing the verses.
Thank you.
you this morning that in all our testings, in all our temptations, that you are there with us. We thank you this morning that Christ has overcome the world and overcome Satan. And we can too. I thank you that amid those temptations and trials, we can come to you in prayer. We can know the infilling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can use the word of God to overcome. And so I pray this morning, Father, for each and every one of us, that we will know that Spirit, that we will know the power of God, the word of God, and we will know the power of prayer in our lives at this time, so that we may be able to love you and serve you in this world today. For I ask it and I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm looking to the back to see if our young people are coming back in this morning. I think if we turn to our final song and we start singing the verses, they may be encouraged to come in if they're coming in. So we're turning to song number 74. Number 74 in our songbook. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. At his voice creation sprang at once to light, all the angel faces, all the hosts of light, thrones and dominations, Satan's stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in their great array. Song number 74, the words are there on the screen. We're singing it to the tune of Camberwell, and there's a little introduction. I think we can go sing the first and second verses and stop, because I can see faces at the door right now. Thank you. Let's start. And in they come. And here they are. Lovely. Hello, Hudson. You are the fastest. You haven't got a microphone. Just shout, Rosie. You can't shout. Come speak here.
Sorry, I thought you were getting... It was getting so late, I didn't think we'd be coming back.
Always time.
Because I know John is... Is it on, please? I don't know how to use these things. Okay, so we'll be very, very quick because I know you're short of time. So we've been talking about Jesus, who is the good shepherd. Stand up and you can see. Matthew, we've been making sheep. Can you show everybody your sheep? Let's put this one down because we don't need that one at the moment. And we had some creatures to put in the sheep pen. They weren't all sheep, but we gave them all names. And the good shepherd was called Groot, who Matthew has on his T-shirt. And he was the good shepherd looking after all the sheep. So why does the shepherd need to look after the sheep?
Because there was a little boy to come in the hen, and only the shepherd could go in the hen.
Otherwise, what happens if somebody else gets in the sheep pen?
There will... someone will get the sheep.
Yeah, the sheep might be in danger, so the good shepherd has to be the only one who cares for the sheep. And he knows them all by
names.
Faces. And we've just got something to read, haven't we? Can we remember this? Jesus the shepherd will guide his and lead them to all the safe places. He loves one and all, the big and the small. He knows all their names and their faces. And Jesus knows all our names. He knows our faces, and he's going to look after us. Oh, sorry, Matthew wants to name the sheep that we had in the pen.
Chocolate, ice cream, ginger, stripy, and bar. And Fluffy. Fluffy Bar is it.
Great names for sheep, aren't they? This time has gone on, I think they will be wanting to go out. But anyway, we're going to stand again, we'll just have that little introduction, and we're going to go to the fifth verse, our final verse. So in your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Thank you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And good morning, and God bless you all.